Let us pray. God with us, open our ears that we might hear your word, our minds that we might understand your message, and break open our hearts that we might respond in action for your reign. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 1. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
So a dear friend of mine was staying with us last weekend. Some of you may have met him. He was in the back. His name was Joe. And Joe was kind of on a farewell tour of sorts. In a few weeks, his life as he knows it will end. And he will embark on a new life, a new way of life together, and a completely new experience. He is entering into monastic life as in a Trappist monastery, and he will live out the rest of his days in silence, worshiping, and farming mushrooms for about 17 hours a day. And so as part of his farewell tour, he's also letting go of a lot of things. He's leaving different pieces of himself, mementos at different places, sometimes with friends, sometimes with strangers, sometimes in empty rooms, sometimes in spaces that have been milestones or markers for him and his life journey thus far. And we will be out to dinner or something this past weekend, and every time we tried to play, he just say, "Oh, I'm liquidating, let me." Because he's giving up all of his life as he knows it, and moving from being a Catholic priest in a very prominent parish to this life, this monastic life of silence, and also almost like identity-less, like losing himself in that space. And so on the last night that we were together, he went and he got his little backpack, because he packs light now. He got his backpack, and he had something that he was leaving behind. I have props too, Brian. He had something that he was leaving behind. He was giving to both Matt and I. And so the first thing he took out was an icon. I know we don't talk about these much here in our church, but it was an icon. So Mother Mary and baby Jesus, it's a Russian icon, and this was for Matt, because both Matt and my friend Joe have an obsession with Eastern Europe and Russia and that entire part of the world and Soviet architecture and all things Soviet. So this was an appropriate gift for him. And then he reached in his bag brought it. And he pulled out something else. And you see, Joe and I, the way we initially connected was through CRS, which is the International Relief and Development arm of the U.S. Catholic Church. And we both connected through our love of global social justice, of food, and of music, and of just theology and being together. And so he said, the thing that I have for you is something that I got in the Philippines. And it was right after Typhoon Haiyan. And I don't know if any of you remember this, but Typhoon Haiyan hit the Philippines in 2013 around November 7th. It was one of the worst recorded typhoons ever in our history. And just in the Philippines alone, it killed over 6,300 people. And there are people who are still missing from that that just haven't been recorded. So we know that the death toll is a lot higher. And Joe, through CRS and some folks in his diocese and church, had gone to the Philippines a couple of months after Haiyan had hit. And for the folks who did survive, they lost most of their livelihood, so their way of making a living. So a lot of people worked a lot with coconut trees and palm trees. And it takes a while, by the way. I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think about 7 years for you to get back to what a coconut tree needs to be so that folks can make their living off of them. So people didn't have work for several years. People lost their homes, and they were going around visiting with folks. And they were with a group of, he called them like survivors, because especially in certain villages, it was, you were a survivor if you lived through this event. And there was one mother, a young mother, who had a huge leg injury that had come from the typhoon. And all of a sudden, she stopped focusing on her leg injury, and she noticed that Joe had a really nice new red Swatch watch. And she couldn't stop looking at it and thinking about it. And so finally, Joe, even though he really loved his new watch, he took his watch off and he gave it to her. And then she ended up giving him this watch. This is the watch that she was wearing in 2013, November, when she fled from her home as it was flooding in the middle of the typhoon. She insisted that she share what she had with him. And now Joe was giving this to me. And so one of the things I was really touched by is that the two of them had given their time, not just in a symbol, but given their time and themselves to one another. And now somehow Joe was also passing that time along to me. And for some reason, I don't know if it was because I was afraid that I was going to be too emotional or what, but I didn't take seriously enough the time that he was spending with us. That he had spent two nights with us alone. And Joe's like a loner, so he doesn't really like to spend that much time with people. If you saw him, you probably didn't hug him during the passing of the peace because he would prefer a handshake. But him spending that time with us, him giving that time to us, meant so, so much. And it was something that he just did regularly. And so I'm going to keep this watch for as long as I can. It's still working, by the way. In our gospel story today, I know you've heard it a million times. You know, Joseph is feeling some kind of way because the only logical explanation is that Mary has a man on the side. And he is stressed. This does not look good for him. But he's also, we hear that he is also a really religious guy. He's a guy of the law, of the Torah, and so he's a good Jew, and he follows that. And so he's not going to shame her publicly, but he's going to dismiss her quietly, even though this will still have this is not just romantic implications that it will have for them, the two of them separating, it will have economic and political implications as well, because marriages at that time were kind of like brokers, right, of bringing families together and also of kind of bolstering your economic status. And then he dreams. And I don't know about y'all, but I have some crazy dreams, and I don't wake up in the morning and do everything that I dream. But apparently, Joseph was a little better than me, and you know, he hears that he's not supposed to be afraid. He's supposed to marry Mary, even though, you know, that could be questionable and make him look bad. And then he's supposed to name this kid Jesus. And this kid's going to save everybody from their sins. And this is supposed to kind of refer back to or fulfill Isaiah's prophecy about a child being born to a virgin or to a young girl, and they will call him Emmanuel, or God with us. And I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to talk about baby Jesus, because we've all been waiting to talk about baby Jesus. And maybe I'm supposed to make some pop culture references. And what's the baby that everybody else likes? Baby Yoda, yes. Maybe we're supposed to compare who do we think was cuter, baby Jesus or baby Yoda. But this is much more than a children's story. This is much more than about a cute baby, and cute babies are absolutely wonderful, but there's something a lot bigger going on here. This is about the inbreaking of God in a way that is so different than we have known any other God. This is a God that has loved, that loves us so much that God becomes incarnate and comes as the most fragile thing, a Palestinian refugee baby. That God is with us. And it reminded me of Joe and that mother being with one another and sharing their time with one another. It reminded me of Joe and Matt and my time, our time together. We didn't do anything fancy. Actually, we sat for just hours on the couch talking and spending time together and making stupid jokes that weren't funny to anyone else but us. And that's how much God loves us. That God comes into the mundane of our lives and spends time with us and hangs out with us on the couch and gives watches to us and tells stories. And I'm wondering if that is what God is calling us to do in this season. Because even though, you know, this is all about, supposed to be all about baby Jesus and stuff, I'm wondering if this is actually the perfect season and the perfect Sunday to remind us that at the core of this story is not just this baby, is not just the no room at the end, or all the everything that we've got represented in the manger over there, but instead that this is at its core about relationship. That God cares so much about being in relationship that God would come as a baby to be with us. That it's not just about saving our sins, and I would say that it's not even just about showing us how to live, although, you know, we do have that 33 years to help us, but it is about relationship being at the core of everything. And it reminds me of this quote from Henry Nouwen. So Henry Nouwen is this, or was this Catholic theologian. He taught at fancy schools like Yale and somewhere else, but I can't remember. At some point, though, those accolades weren't working for him anymore. And so before he ended his life in, before he lived out the last years of his life in the L'Arche community, which is a community where people, able-bodied people and differently able-bodied people live together in community, helping each other, he had gone down to South America. And he wrote this journal trying to figure out what God was calling him to do. What was his vocation? What was his calling? What was his purpose? What was his meaning in life? And he writes this. More and more the desire grows in me to simply walk around, greet people, enter their homes, sit on their doorsteps, play ball, throw water, and be known as someone who wants to live with them. It is a privilege to have the time to practice this simple ministry of presence. Still, it seems it is not as simple as it seems. My own desire to be useful, to do something significant, or to be part of some impressive project is so strong that soon my time is taken up by meetings and conferences, study groups and workshops that prevent me from walking the streets. It is difficult not to have plans, not to organize people around an urgent cause, not to feel that you're working directly for social progress. But I wonder more and more if the first thing should not be to know people by name, to eat and drink with them, to listen to their stories and to tell your own, and to let them know with words, handshakes, and hugs that you do not simply like them, but truly you love them. So I used to do some stuff in community development. So there was this big thing that it seemed like an epiphany that we would talk about. We would talk about community development for people or community development with people. And people got so excited. Oh, yes, with people. They loved it. They acted like you were saying something so profound. But really the difference is, well, let's take Joe's story about the Philippines, for instance. Now, easily, Joe's church could have sent lots of money. They have a significant budget, and they do a lot with mission. They could have sent money, and things would have gone well. Or another thing they could have done is they could have said, oh, I know what this community needs. They really need water. So let's go in without talking to them at all and make sure that they have a water pump, a borehole, and we'll fly all in all these parts for them so that they have the most high technology and advanced water pump that anyone in this village has ever had. And they will be so grateful. So that's community development for people, right? But community development with people is going into the community and sitting with the loss and the trauma and the sadness that folks have experienced, and then listening and sharing your own stories of need and trying to come to a point where there is understanding, and through that, a joint project of working together for better life can begin. And so it might look like water, but it might look like a community garden, or it might be that they really want to make sure that their kids are educated in science and technology. We don't know, but it starts with a relationship. And that's how different our God is. You see, the God that folks had before was a God who, you know, you just ask for something and God gives from on high, or you do something wrong and God punishes from on high. But this is a different kind of God who broke into the world and experienced and cried and laughed and came to a sense of understanding so that together we might build the peaceable kingdom. And to me, that sounds like not just good news, but transformative news. And so I will give you the same message that the angel of the Lord gave Joseph. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what is going on in our world today. Do not be afraid of the political discord. Do not be afraid of violence and homelessness and poverty. Do not be afraid of war. Do not be afraid to know your neighbors. Do not be afraid to sit down to dinner with that unmarried couple that's about to have that child. Do not be afraid to be in intimate relationship with the loving God. Not because everything will be perfect, or because the problems will just disappear, or because it won't feel uncomfortable, or because it won't be complex. It will be all that. But our God is the God that in the midst of the muck and the complexity, that is actually where God lives. That is where God shows up. God with us, Emmanuel. The Lord be with you.